The word today is way. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Testing is an important part of determining whether a person or product will be reliable. We would suspect the integrity of a product that did not undergo testing. God wants our faith in Jesus to be strong, and that means we will be tested. We'd like life to be easy all the time, but in times of testing, we must trust God. We need to rely on our Savior, Jesus, to gain hope for the future. Here with more about this important topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Way.
I find that there's this interesting situation that can happen occasionally when you put your faith in God and you trust in Him and you think you know the direction He wants you to go, then all of a sudden there seems to be a roadblock, some kind of barrier. And it's a real struggle in faith because you get this sense that He wants you to continue and to go, but you see this threat, you see this opposition or this barrier, and it causes confusion. It's a very difficult moment. One of the things I'd like to share with you today is from Exodus chapter 14, where the Israelites had been freed from Egypt. Now, you would think that after the 10 plagues had happened to Egypt and the Pharaoh says, okay, fine, you know, you leave. Well, of course, that was because of the last plague was the death of the firstborn, what we know as the Passover. And so the people basically told the Israelites, get out, get out. And so they did. Now they're in the desert. And again, the Pharaoh's heart was hardened to self-destruction. He was going to destroy himself because he had been condemned by God. And so he changes his mind once again, and he sends his chariots out. His army is coming after the Israelites in the desert. I guess 10 times of God showing His might and majesty and punishment was not enough. Pharaoh had to end up getting his whole army destroyed in the Red Sea as a kind of a crowning accomplishment. So there is this moment where the Israelites are in the desert, and they're up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is coming after them. And I'd like to read about it in Exodus 14, starting at verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on the dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." In other words, there was no way forward. The people were standing at a sea, and God says, "Move on, go ahead." And He makes a way where there was no way. And that's what we're talking about today, is that God has this cycle, so to speak, or this system that He uses where He calls us to trust in Him, and He gets us moving along a certain way, a certain path, and then we get this obstacle. And it could be an enemy. It could be someone who's hostile to our faith in Jesus. It could be a financial situation. It could be any number of difficulties. It could be medical. And all of a sudden now we have this obstacle that is in front of us. Well, in this particular case with the Israelites, it was the Egyptians. It was the enemies of God. So maybe our best application of this passage is to think about how we have to continue on in faith, even when there are people hostile to us, even when individuals would oppose us for the sake of Jesus, that we're standing for Christ and they are wanting to destroy us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see." It's confidence in the Lord, even though we don't have 100% answers in the moment. And it's calling on us to put our trust in God. That's the real challenge, is because you can look around at the circumstances and you can get spooked by it. You get scared because of what you see unfolding, developing. And God is calling you to still trust in Him that He is going to make it happen. Now, of course, faith is not foolishness and stupidity. It's not just worldliness, and neither is it arrogance and foolhardiness, this kind of I-know-it-all attitude. It's a simple trust and dependence on the Lord. And what we find in the Bible is that when people put their hope and trust in God, it's going to get tested. Think of the apostles. They finally came to understand that Jesus is Christ, that He is the Son of God. They finally were able to confess, "My Lord and my God." That's what Thomas said after he saw Jesus raised from the dead. And John, the gospel writer, said that he wrote down all these things so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you might have life in His name. So we're called to believe in Jesus. But your faith is going to get tested at some point. There's going to be some kind of barrier that's stuck in front of you. And the reason why God allows this is because He wants to see if we're faithful. He wants to see if we will trust Him despite the circumstances. Let me use an analogy to show you why God might put challenges or tests or trials in our way. We might think that a loving God might remove all the barriers and problems and just make it smooth and easy for us. But that's not what God is after. God is after maturing us, developing us, strengthening us, growing us in faith. So let's use an analogy of a person who says, "I'm a great runner." They think they run really well, and they always train on flat land. They never do any hills, and they think they're a really good runner. But what if you were to present a big hill to them? What if you had a little mountain for them to try to climb, to try to run? Then we'd find out that that person might not be as good of a runner as they thought they were. They might have to do a lot more training, a lot more development in order to become a better runner. Maybe they're not so great a runner because they always run on flat land where it's easier. My point is that God wants to mature you in faith. He wants you to grow in faith and trust. And you know what? It doesn't grow unless it's tested. In the same way that a person doesn't become a better runner unless they are presented with more challenges. In other words, tougher environments, more hills, more difficult training. That's how you become a better runner. And in faith, we're going to have little mountains to conquer and to climb. We're going to have moments where we have to continue on in faith despite the circumstances. There's roadblocks that can happen. Sometimes we create our own little roadblocks. Sometimes we disobey the Lord and the consequences are quite negative. Sometimes we don't listen that well to what He said. I hope that you're attempting to learn the Word of God, to grow in wisdom, to have the Holy Spirit build up your faith. That's a great way of being strengthened in your love for Jesus. There's always going to be something that stands in the way. And we see this happen with the apostles and other believers too. The apostles at one point wanted to go down to a region called Bithynia, but it says the Spirit of God prevented them from doing so. There was like a roadblock. And then they got a message from someone else, "Come down and help us." So God was blocking the one way for them to go, a different way to have Christian ministry. Saul, the guy that was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing God a big favor by hounding and pursuing the Christians. And it turned out he learned that he was persecuting Jesus. And so Christ confronted him. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 9, where Jesus knocks him on his butt and blinds him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul has to learn that he had zeal, but it was the wrongly directed zeal. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4, it says zeal is good, provided it's for the right cause. Well, Saul was misdirecting his zeal for God, and he was using it against Christ instead of for Christ. I hope that resonates with some of you. Some of you might be using your zeal against Christians. You know what? You're wasting your energy. All you're doing is irritating the Lord God. You know, maybe it's time to open your eyes to receive Jesus instead of opposing Jesus. You know, the barrier that you have in your life may be put there by yourself because you're resisting Christ. Well, there's a lot of good lessons in all of this, like faith needs testing. I mean, would you ever buy a car or some other product that was never tested to make sure it would last and work? Well, in the same way, your faith needs to last. It needs to be tested and made secure. So sometimes we have to thank God for trials and difficulties when it results in our spirit being strengthened, our faith being strengthened. The greatest barrier that God's ever going to remove for you is the grave. And that is why you need your faith in Jesus Christ. He has come to release you from death. So continue to put your faith and trust in God. Develop and work at being a person of faith. Put your hope in Jesus Christ, because God wants you to mature, to develop, and to have a strong faith, tenacious faith, and place that faith in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will redeem you from the grave.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.